Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. Welcome to the show. In case you don't know, this is a faith and values program that airs weekly here on WBT. I've been doing this show for now over 20 years. What a joy it has been to do it. Many thanks to my friends at Ruth Chris Steakhouse and Perry's Fine Jewelry. Your sponsorship of this show allows it to continue on a weekly basis, and I hope especially during COVID-19 that this show gives you faith, hope, and love. It encourages all of you that there is a God who's in control, and he's even in control of all this going on around us. Well, happy Mother's Day to you all, too. Mother's Day 2020. Can you believe it? It's a little bit of a different one because usually on Mother's Day, we all try to gather around the table and celebrate mom in the different capacities that she has loved and served us, but we just can't do that this year. So I thought at least we can have my great wife and a wonderful mom to my three kids, and Marilyn, my wife. Honey, it's great to have you on the show today.
Good to be here, David. What a wonderful Mother's Day.
Yeah, it's great to have this opportunity to share this Mother's Day show with you, and we're looking forward to being able to hopefully give some people some insights that will make this Mother's Day special in every possible way.
Yeah, but nobody's going to be going out to lunch. So every mother is either going to be cooking or somebody cooking for her. But nobody's taking mom to lunch today.
Well, I appreciate the fact that we can celebrate Mother's Day, at least in this small way during this hour today. So as you look at Mother's Day, what goes through your mind? I know there were years in the early years of our marriage when we were told we probably would never have children. We got negative medical report after negative medical report, but finally we did have a baby. And what goes through your mind as you think about Mother's Day, looking back over those years of infertility?
Well, you know, I was thinking back just a couple of days ago to the very first Mother's Day that I ever celebrated. And, of course, at first I was thinking it was the first Mother's Day that we had Bethany. And then I remembered that actually the previous Mother's Day is when we had just found out we were expecting. I mean, we'd only been expecting for about 3 or 4 weeks, which most people don't tell the news. But we'd been waiting for so long. We'd had 7 Mother's Days in a row, you know, when we were wishing we had children. And so because it was such a neat opportunity to kind of begin to celebrate, I remember getting a little plaque from my mother that said something about, like, what is a grandmother? And I wrapped it up, and I gave that to her for her Mother's Day gift. And that's how we told her that we were expecting. What a great Mother's Day that was. But it was kind
of
a celebration.
Talk about her expression on her face.
Oh, my goodness.
When you showed her that.
She and Daddy had been waiting so long for us to, you know, finally have this baby that we were longing for. And so she didn't really understand what it meant at first. Like, what's a grandmother? Well, who's a grandmother? And I said, well, you're going to be. But it was interesting because that was the celebration of a miracle that we'll never forget. And that miracle, of course, led to the birth of not one, not two, but 3 children. The healing miracle, of course, that you're talking about. And then all the grandbabies that are coming thereafter. But you don't forget your miracles, you know. And I think during a time of a crisis like we are all in right now, even though it's turned into sort of a chronic crisis, it's good to go back and look at your miracles. We'll never forget that time, will we, David?
No, we won't. And let's talk right now about something you call the Ebenezer box. And we have used that in a powerful way in our lives as a remembrance of God's faithfulness.
Well, you know, it kind of all started. I remember when Bethany was 15, she said, Mom, you have the craziest answers to prayer. You know, you just really see God work in the craziest kind of ways. And I thought about it and I thought, she's heard stories about how she was the product of a miracle. And then her 2 brothers were. But I think I kind of got started back in those days when we couldn't have children of just looking for God, signs of God at work, because the only way I knew to fight the anxiety and the fear was to replace it with faith. And so I began saving little mementos, just little relics, like the page in my journal when I thought I was healed so that we were going to have a baby. I tossed that in this little box. I think I had a shoebox for years, and then I actually got a prettier box. But I remember reading that passage in 1 Samuel 7 about when Samuel set up a rock to remind the Israelites of this amazing victory against the Philistines, because they were always prone to wander. And he said, nope, every time you go past this big stone called the Ebenezer stone, the word literally means rock of support. I want you to remember that God has helped us each step of the way. So we have our little Ebenezer box.
So every time the Jews would walk by that Ebenezer stone or Ebenezer rock, they would remember
God's
faithfulness.
Our help. Mm-hmm.
And
God
they would always
helper.
Say, well, if he did it once,
he can do it again.
And so you formed this Ebenezer box.
Just a little box, you know, just toss stuff in there, but little relics. And over the years, gosh, over a lot of years of marriage and parenting, there are a lot of neat little stories in there. In fact, our granddaughter found it the other day, and she was looking through. She calls me Mary Mary, and she was looking through the box. And we'll talk some more about that later because I got her own box. But she's like, what are these stories? And so as I started telling her the stories out of the box, I realized, well, this is a great way to pass our little legacy of faith on.
Well, when we come back, let's talk about further mementos in the Ebenezer box and encourage people to have their own mementos.
So easy, yeah.
Because the night before the Israelites were freed from Egypt, there's the question that's always asked, what happened on this night? And they shared the story of deliverance in the Red Sea. We need to remember, folks, that's a way to defeat things like COVID. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Rise and call her blessed. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110 99.3 WBT. My wife, Marilyn, joins me on this Mother's Day 2020. To all, happy Mother's Day to you. You know, Marilyn, as you look at the words to this song, they're powerful in so many ways, how a mother influences the life of her children. That's what we're celebrating today. And don't you love that last word that she was singing before I broke in? We rise and call her blessed. I know you know the answer to this. Where does that come from?
Well, it's out of the Proverbs 31 woman. And, you know, we kind of sometimes misunderstand that poor Proverbs 31 woman with what looked like an amazing, incredibly long job description. But if we look at the whole story behind her, the real words in the Hebrew are woman of valor. So she was a woman of great courage. It means part nurturer and part warrior. But I think that the children watched her. If you go back and read Proverbs 31:10 all the way through the end of the chapter, you'll see that when those children rise up and call her blessed, they've been watching her, you know, through their whole lifetime. I mean, she taught them, I'm sure, with her words. But I really think they caught her faith, you know, much more by her example. So that term in the Hebrew, rise up, it's real strong. I mean, when it says they rise up, it means they rise up in strength and power. And I think a lot of it because of what she gave them.
And there could be a literal rising up, a standing ovation, if you will,
could
for
be.
Mom.
Could
just
be.
Just because they're so thankful for the life that she gave them.
Yeah, could be. That's exactly right.
Well, before we broke, we were talking about this wonderful insight that you have of moms, especially, forming what are you call Ebenezer memories. And it comes from the Hebrew story of Samuel building the Ebenezer stone, and that word Ebenezer means?
Well, the Ebenezer means a stone of support or a stone of help. But what Samuel says is, I put that up because I wanted them to always remember that God was with them. And you and I both know that there's a real important thing when you're raising your children about helping them remember the ways God's worked in their life. Remembering the past is a great way to strengthen your faith for the present and for the future. Something real important right now, because everybody's sort of fighting this low-grade anxiety. And I think we sometimes underestimate how much our children catch that anxiety from us. You know, if we're feeling anxious, we don't even have to say anything. They can just absorb it. And I think remembering and pointing back to the times that worked in our life as a family, in their life, in our life personally, by telling them stories, we'd be surprised how much that helps calm anxieties down.
So we've been talking over the last several weeks on this show about a book I just recently authored and put out. It's called Moving Beyond Anxiety, and it's 12 practical ways to help overcome anxiety, especially by renewing your mind. And one of the chapters is all about faith is more caught than taught. Now, we do need to teach our faith, and Deuteronomy 6 talks about so many times the people need to teach faith to their children, parents do, but especially it needs to be caught.
Yeah,
the kids need to watch mom and dad live out their faith. And one of the things we wanted to make sure that people could do in today's show is, as good moms, as good dads, to live out your faith. And one of the ways you can do that is to have mementos.
Just all throughout your house.
Yeah, well, talk about some of the things we've done there. As you know, we had to wait for 8 years for a child to finally come through a lot of negative medical diagnoses. But you've
impossible,
used little
they would say.
Bunnies around our house as signs and symbols, Ebenezer stones, if you will, to remind us of God's faithfulness.
Well, they really started out in kind of a funny way, because I don't know who the first person was that gave us a bunny, but somewhere in all that journey of infertility, I began to associate bunnies with the belief that God was going to heal us through a miracle. And that is sort of funny, because, you know, rabbits make lots of rabbits. That wasn't the reason. But bunnies became sort of a little trigger. So you know how friends are and family. At all birthdays and different occasions, people would give me bunnies. Like, hey, I'm praying for you. Or, I saw a bunny here. I thought this is cute. Thought you'd like it. And so bunnies began to populate our life and eventually our house. And you wouldn't know it when you walked in.
Not real live bunnies.
No.
Statues and such.
But amazing prints and pictures. But, you know, seeing signs and symbols, the kids kind of always got a kick out of it, because they knew the story of the bunnies and how the bunnies were a symbol of waiting. And so there were some very artistic little bunnies woven throughout our house. But it kind of goes along with the admonition in Deuteronomy 6. Because, you know, Moses was telling the people, this faith is really important to teach your children. We are always prone to wander, and we're always prone to forget. So he's saying, these commandments, this is Deuteronomy 6, verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. And then he goes on to say, tie them on your forehead, around your wrist, you know, on your gatepost, whatever. And we just sort of, in a modern translation of that, to say to ourselves, have pictures of scriptures up on your walls, or just children love visual images. So we sort of have things sprinkled all throughout our house that point the children back to God's word when they were in our home. Certainly signs and symbols that were memories of past victories, but also just scriptures. And it's amazing how this gets woven. And I looked up that word impress, because it sounded pretty dramatic. Like,
yeah, impress on your hearts, what it says.
Yeah, impress these on your children. And so I was thinking, I wonder how difficult that should be. And when I looked at the Hebrew, it actually just means to repeat over and over and over. And then, you know how children are, they always say, do it again, do it again. And I thought, that's a much gentler approach to teaching the children the faith than what I was sort of interpreting it to mean, like being diligent and forceful and all that. And it's really more just like, as you go, you know, in the van, at the meal, and of course some, you know, actual teaching, but mostly just repeating. And maybe repeating fewer things more often than overkill. Like, children should not feel like growing in their faith is drinking from a fire hose. It should be just a natural part. So I like that. That made me feel like children are also very symbolic, and they love images, and they love memories. So
you're getting back to this whole idea that parents need to live their faith and let
surround
the children
them.
See
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
But then also have little reminders, mementos
yeah.
sprinkled
songs,
all throughout your house.
Yeah.
You used to put music on a
yeah.
lot, and our kids would hear the scriptures sung in music
yeah.
throughout our house all day long.
And I notice our grown kids are doing the same thing with their kids. Music is a wonderful way to not only memorize scripture. I think most of the scripture I've memorized came from our little kids listening to what was back then called GT and the Halo Express. You
yeah.
know, it was cute. I mean, it was really well done, but the verses are still in my mind. And it's interesting. I heard one of our sons was singing to his little son at night and singing scripture songs to him. You know, some of them from our worship services. And I thought, children can sing back. And the little one was singing back. He's not even two yet.
Yeah.
And, of course, our daughter has music going all the time for her brood. And I noticed that our youngest son, who doesn't have children yet, was being interviewed. Long story, but, you know, the Olympics were postponed. And he was an Olympic hopeful in swimming. Somebody, all the news stations wanted to ask him out there in California, how are you surviving getting the Olympics, you know, postponed and canceled? And he quoted one of the verses we would always share with him, which is Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Remember it? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding.
And in all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your path straight.
Yeah.
And you came up with that
with
tune,
some little hand versions
to him all the time.
Yeah, but that was a little thing we would do. I mean, while he was in the stroller, and there he is. He didn't sing it, but I thought, there he is quoting that verse to a secular news station.
Yeah.
So that memory is in his head, and I thought, that's the way it's supposed to happen. It's just supposed to be natural and just part of their growing up.
You know, I think of my mom and dad, and I know they taught me a lot about the scripture, and they taught me about God and faith and all of those things. But, you know, what I remember most is not what, for example, my dad said to me. What I remember most is that during times of crises, my dad was on his knees praying, and I saw it. That during times of difficulty, my dad had an open Bible searching God's word for truth that would allow him to get through a time of difficulty. And I saw him live out his faith. And what I said in my heart is, I want what he has.
Yep.
And that's the catching of the faith.
Yep.
He made it so attractive to me, so necessary as he faced life's trials. I wanted the faith that he had.
Well, and I do think there's no way around it. The power of God's word is what builds faith. And I do think that part of our job as parents is to help build the faith of our children. And they can learn. I mean, salvation faith is different. You know, that's a gift given to us by God. That's amazing. I don't even understand salvation by grace. It's so overwhelmingly amazing. But we can teach them how to build daily faith through God's word. It says faith comes by hearing the word. And so that's important. But we can also impress that upon them in lots of different ways.
So there is salvation faith, which is a free gift, nothing
yeah.
we can do to earn it. But then once we have that kind of faith, we've got to exercise it for what you and I call
mm-hmm.
miracle working
mm-hmm.
faith. And that God wants us to do that. That's what Jesus meant when he said, your faith has made you well. There's, again,
yeah.
an exercising of our faith that allows
right.
the power of the Spirit to work.
And sometimes it's a fight. You know, we talk about the fight of faith. But the children know. I think what I wanted them to know is that faith matters, God's word is true, and that prayer works. You know, children are realists. So I kind of had them believe as they grew up, if mom's praying, something's going to happen.
My wife Marilyn is my guest today. Happy Mother's Day 2020 to all of you. Marilyn, when we come back amidst the COVID-19 crisis, what can parents do to help their children overcome anxiety? We can help them. Let's give them some practical suggestions. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-993 WBT. Welcome back to the show. Many thanks to all of my faithful listeners who join me every week. If you'd like to hear this program in its entirety, please go to WBT.com, scroll down to the weekend shows, look for the David Chadwick Show, and you can listen to the show from beginning to end with my wife, Marilyn, as we are talking about the power of mothers, and also realize, too, that this program is going to be rebroadcast at 12 noon today. So if you missed it and would like to hear it today, it'll be broadcast here on WBT. News Talk 1110-993 WBT at noon as well. And Marilyn, as we talk about the power of mothers in our lives, I know it's not necessarily as stated today as it was in other generations, but people used to say the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And just the influence of a mom upon a family and upon children just can't be overstated?
Well, you know, David, we've traveled a lot in Africa, and one of my friends that works in a ministry over there says it this way. He says, in Africa, we call all women mothers, whatever their age and whether they're married or not, because we know that women have an amazing influence on their environment and they're life givers. And we have a saying also that says, if you educate a girl, you educate a nation. And they just realized the ripple effect. So I was going back and looking in Genesis back at the beginning. And interestingly, I think I knew this years ago, but I'd forgotten it, that when Adam gave Eve her new name, it really means living and life givers. You know, women can be life givers. I have friends that don't even have kids or some that aren't even married. But it's amazing how they are such life givers to whoever's in their world. And obviously we know mothers and grandmothers and women who've raised families are life givers. But I think during the COVID crisis, we've got women right now being certainly life givers at home. Some are caring for aging parents. Some of my friends are frontline workers in the medical community, and some, you know, even work in grocery stores or drug stores, pharmacies. They are all in their own way right now drawing upon this gift of being a life giver. It's just amazing what a woman with a lot of faith and a trust in God can do wherever she is. And again, you know, part nurturer, part warrior, really strong, but really comforting. And we need that right now. And remember, the Latin for comfort is to give strength. So I think a good mom or a good woman that's, you know, a life giver, not just is going to give comfort to her children and her family and the people around her, but she's also going to give strength. What do we need right now? We certainly need a lot of courage and we need a lot of strength.
Well, we know that there's a lot of anxiety out there. Again, I just released a book entitled Moving Beyond Anxiety, 12 Practical Ways to Renew Your Mind. The idea of the book is that if you change how you think, you'll change how you feel.
Right.
And too many people are trying to deal with just the feelings today. They then masquerade the real problem, which is a negative thought life. And we've got to have minds filled with faith. Here's a question for you. As you look out there and see children becoming increasingly anxious, teen suicide is on the rise.
And that was already happening, by the way, well before the COVID
crisis.
And
all this did was add fuel to the fire. Yeah. It now is anxiety's on steroids because of the COVID crisis. But parents are concerned about their children and what are their children absorbing. What are some practical things that a mom and a dad could do to help alleviate anxiety in their children? And one of the things I'll go ahead and mention that I know you love to talk about is learning how to laugh in the face of fear.
Well, you know, laughter is the best medicine for a lot of reasons. And, you know, you can't laugh in an appropriate way. I mean, there's nothing funny about this crisis, but you know, there are moments where we just have to laugh. You know, you and I have even found that as we walk through tragedies with people in ministry. It's just amazing sometimes how laughter will come up at really odd moments, and it's very healing. But I think back to that Proverbs 31 woman. It says she's clothed with strength and dignity. This is Proverbs 31:25. She's clothed with strength and dignity, and she can laugh at the days to come. Some translations say she can rejoice, she can smile. But I love this one that says laugh. And I think what happens sometimes is when we see how big God really is, we can face our anxieties and our trials with a little more of a light heart. But there's something about laughter that translates into every language. And when we are able to still laugh or have a little fun or whatever in the middle of a crisis with our children, you know, what they hear underneath the surface is everything's going to be okay. Mm. We've seen that overseas. I don't know what it is about being with Christians in third world and difficult developing nations and war and all the different places we've been. But we find the joy level is usually a whole lot higher in those places than it is here.
Talk about what you experienced in Lebanon a couple of years ago.
Oh, my goodness. I will never forget. You know, ISIS had just gone on its march. In fact, it was just given its name that summer. And we were invited to go to Lebanon to lead a marriage conference and to work with the church over there. And all of our family and friends were like, oh, my goodness, you do not need to be going over there now. They weren't even recommending travelers from any of our side of the world going over there who knew what was happening. But we felt led to go. We went with somebody that knew the area real well. And I was just amazed. One of my friends over here began to get counseling because she was so nervous about this purported new ISIS and the terror attack potential. And over there, they were not only working on the front lines with the Syrian refugees, but as we went to those camps with them, we could hear the guns of ISIS in the background. And so I asked one of the pastor's wives that was really sharp. She spoke four languages. She's from a Russian country and married a Lebanese guy. So I think English was like her fourth language.
And
after,
she speaks better than you.
Yeah, she speaks better than both of us anyway. She's 10 times smarter. But all that to say, I said to her, I said, do you just live in fear every time you have to go through a checkpoint? Because, you know, lots of times car bombs went off. And she just looked at me and said very casually, well, we've just learned to trust God for protection. And she said it in about the same tone of voice that I would say, well, you know, I've just learned to buckle my seatbelt when I get ready to drive on the freeway. And I just drew such strength and comfort from her. I just noticed the whole time we were over there, and even though it was a little dangerous, I guess, I never felt nervous or anxious once. And that's partly because of experiencing it around them. So I think that laughter is sort of the flag that's flying over the castle.
And you've recently experienced a communication from her.
Yeah, back from her.
After Lebanon has gone through a serious revolution.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Where 40% unemployment right now.
Yeah.
And also the COVID crisis hitting there too and causing even those problems to be on steroid. And yet, what was her communication?
Well, it's interesting. I saved it because I found that I took great comfort from her email, and it made me feel less anxious. And I was thinking, what is this? And I thought, it's probably the gift of perspective, because if God's enough for her over there, then I can surely trust him with my stuff. So the email, and we trade emails, you know, on about a monthly basis, but she was just talking, and her kids are all teenagers now. She was talking about what interesting times we're living in. Who would have thought we'd have to go through this? You know, we're all on lockdown. It was a much more serious lockdown over there. But she said the only time we can go out is to go for a walk. So I go and get groceries, and the rest of the time spent with home. Then she starts listing some of the blessings that came out of it. It's come with good blessings, too. We can spend more time together as a family. Her husband's a pastor. We can do stuff that we never found time for and actually have more time to cook and sit around the meals. But what's interesting is she just started talking, and this made me kind of laugh. She said, I always wanted to learn something new to satisfy our growing family, but she basically didn't like to cook, which is just, for a Lebanese family, that's just a no-no. She said, so what am I doing today? I'm learning to cook all kinds of meals. The big entertainment every day for our children, who, like she said, are all teenagers now. What am I cooking today? So it's not only the main meal. I end up cooking at least two times a day, plus snacks, new and healthy desserts. And so it's like God's turned the clock back 100 years, and families are learning how to love each other. Now, what's interesting is she follows that by some of the things that they're doing in their church. They're having to go online like everybody else. But then she alludes to what you said. Now that more than 40% of all the Lebanese are unemployed, think about that. 40% due to not only the 6-month revolution, but now the economic crisis. There are about 50% of the Lebanese living below the poverty line, which is unusual. We were over there. It was a very well-educated, you know, very solid culture. 50% now below the poverty line. Their church is trying not only to help those families as well as the Syrian and Iraqi refugees. So I kept listening for a hint of anxiety in her email. It wasn't there. Well, and she goes, we continue to work hard and stay faithful to the work God's entrusted with us. He's a wonderful God and Father who never lets us down. And I thought, wow, there's a lot in that email. Compassion, courage, you know, love for the family, a little bit of humor, cooking every day, all day long. We all can relate to that. But there was no anxiety.
And at the bottom line, it sounds like she just has faith.
She has faith.
You just trust the Lord completely and totally in the midst of the crisis.
Because she has to.
An international focus, Marilyn.
Well,
everybody needs to go there.
Well, and they think about it. They've already been in turbulence. The banks were shut down. I mean, it was tough. We were trading emails during the revolution. So went through a revolution. Now the COVID crisis. I think that I can make it through my anxieties a little better knowing that my dear friend, you know, is able to bear up under this over there.
And that is a Bible verse where Peter said, think about all of your brothers and
mm-hmm,
sisters
around
the
world
who are suffering, and look
yeah.
at how they're handling their suffering
right.
with great faith.
That's right.
Another way we can diminish our own anxiety and have our faith increase.
Well, and you know what? I imagine she's given a sense of calm to her three teenagers. And I imagine if I tell this story to our grandkids, they're going to love hearing that the families over there are doing the very same thing they're doing, which is cooking and eating around the table and laughing some, and that God's going to be enough.
Well, we have one more segment, and we want to talk at the beginning of that segment about the power of faith. Just reiterate, folks, that is the ultimate way you defeat anxiety. And then we'll end the last segment over the last several minutes by praying for our listeners. Marilyn will join me in doing so. We've been doing that the last several weeks as a part of overcoming this crisis, and I look forward to doing so in just a moment with you. I'm David Chadwick. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. I'm David Chadwick, and this is News Talk 1110-99.3 WBT. Welcome back to the show. And little children singing, "Fill Me, O God," how many children were filled with God because, first of all, their mothers introduced them to the living God of the universe. That was certainly partly my case, and I know my wife Marilyn's in the studio with me today. Happy Mother's Day to you all. And your mom was a great example to you as well of great faith, and she's an invalid right now, but just what a wonderful woman she is.
Great woman of faith. You know, yeah. She and my daddy both. I think moms just, again, have that wonderful opportunity of being with the children from the beginning. So a lot of faith comes from our mothers. It just does. And from our fathers, too.
And we have tried to emphasize today, how do you overcome anxiety, especially as parents try to emulate faith for their children? We've given some practical suggestions, like your Ebenezer box, you know, store up memories from past ways God came through for you.
Yeah, have little reminders around your house. Try to find creative ways of teaching God's word to your children, probably most often so they don't know that you're doing it. But repeat it. Do it often. Repeat it. Kind of drip. It's like the drip campaign. Into their soul, like Deuteronomy 6 said.
And take advantage of every opportunity.
Teachable
you have
moments.
Them as a captive audience in the van
in
or
the
wherever.
In the van. Oh, my gosh. All of our conversations, it seemed like everything important took place in the van. I think they all accepted the Lord in some version of on a carpool somewhere.
And we jokingly call that
evangelism. I know it's a bad joke, but we laugh about it. And, you know, I have to be honest, I probably, because we didn't have kids for a lot of years, and even before that, I kind of, you know my story, I went for a lot of years never wanting to have anything to do with God and didn't think having children would be all that much fun, and God sort of captured my heart, and then all kinds of things happened after that. But I'll never forget a really astute children's worker one day telling me, "Don't you dare underestimate the power of a child to have a strong faith." And she said, "When your children are tiny and they start asking you about Jesus, you be respectful to them and answer those questions, but also assume that they know what they're talking about. And if they show signs of being willing to accept Jesus as their Savior, kind of walk them through that, understanding what it means to be a sinner." You can do that on a child's level, then understanding what it means to accept Him and leading them through that prayer. And then kind of go back to that point with them as they're growing older. Remind them of that day. Because take those prayers seriously. And as I've grown as a mother now and as a grandmother, I think little children are probably closer to the heart of Jesus than we are. I know they are.
Unless you have the child of a faith, Jesus said.
That's
the faith,
right.
Of, a
faith
child,
of a child,
excuse me,
yeah.
Then you will not enter the kingdom of heaven.
And the good part of that is the faith of a child is a really strong thing. It can happen really early. And I was talking to our daughter, who's now in her 30s. "Do you remember when you accepted Jesus?" It was in the car. And we talked about it. And she said, "You know, I don't remember the exact place in the car, you know, where we were in the road. But I kind of remember it. But I just knew that I had." And so I think that was just that certainty from the early age on. And like my friend had told me, you assume that they know what they're doing, you know?
Well, Marilyn, before we pray for everyone today on Mother's Day, the bottom line is what parents need to do in order to help their children overcome anxiety and even in their own lives is develop their own faith.
Their own faith.
And when parents have strong faith themselves, their children will hunger for what the parents have, especially moms. So our great encouragement today on Mother's Day is for all moms, grandmoms, all granddads and dads, everyone, develop your faith.
Strengthen your faith. Strengthen your prayer life so that your kids think that when you pray, something happens. Now, I wanted my children to see their own prayers answered, and that's why we would always kind of have a little game for it. Let's keep watch, you know, for specific answers to prayer. But I kind of wanted them thinking that if they gave me a prayer request, I was going to be on it. And then we would watch and see what God would do. And then we would have some stories afterwards that God worked. And then, like I said, some of those answered prayers became relics that I tossed into the Ebenezer box as memories that if God did it once, He can work again.
Yeah, and just like anybody, when you have a memento. Whenever you look at it, it brings back Reminds to your mind you. A remembrance of something. Have those little places all over your house that bring back those memories of how God was faithful. And during the COVID-19 crisis, folks, you can say to your children, hey, let me point out that place over there where God was faithful to us. If he was faithful then, he's going to be faithful to us now. We'll make it through these very difficult days.
Right.
Well, happy Mother's Day to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on the show. It's always a pleasure having you on the show. I just enjoy being with you a lot.
And happy Mother's Day to all you mothers out there.
Yeah, and for you and me, 42 years of marriage in the
next
week or so.
I know.
Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
I'm putting up with me, thank you. I really appreciate it. And could we now end the show by praying for everybody out there? And folks, please join us in this prayer together. Well, Heavenly Daddy, we know how much you love us, and we know how much you care for us. It's seen in the evidence of you coming to be with us in Jesus. And the death on the cross and the forgiveness of our sins is something that always grants us hope in our hearts. We pray today, first of all, Lord, for those who have lost mothers over this last year. We pray that you would comfort them, and especially those who know their moms lived in great faith, the hope that they will see their moms again. 1 Thessalonians 4:13, that we who believe in you grieve differently than those who don't have hope. We have hope because we know we'll see our loved ones again. We pray for those who want babies, who are infertile, and they have as the greatest desire of their heart to have a child. And Lord, I ask Marilyn now to pray for those.
Yes, Lord, I was just thinking about those very women. I know some of you out there may be listening today that this is kind of a bittersweet time. You're thankful for your own moms, but you want to be a mom. And so I just pray that that God would give you great faith right now to sense his heart for you, and that you would feel his warmth and his love, and that you would experience a healing miracle, and that next year at this time you would have your own child. I just pray that specifically for somebody out there today.
I pray, Lord, for women who may be listening who want to be married and want to be mothers. I pray that you would grant them the desires of their heart. I pray they'd meet a special man, they'd fall in love, and like Marilyn just prayed, that this time next year they would be married, and with the great hope and anticipation that they would be given the gift of children. I pray that, Lord, in your name too, because I know that's something you would will. It's not good for man or woman to be alone. You want us to understand the beauty of marriage.
But while they wait, Lord, and this is true for all of us, we're all waiting for something. While we wait, Lord, I pray that you would open doors for us to reach into the heart of other people that need your love. And for women, if we're life givers, we can do that with people that aren't even our own children. So I pray that for every person out there, especially those of you that are waiting for something, men and women, that God will open the door, especially during this COVID time, for you to reach into the heart or serve or share with somebody else that's in a rough place. There are all kinds of ways that our love can be spread around right now. And Lord, I just pray you'd be very creative in allowing all of us to find ways to love and serve, even during this time of a pandemic.
Father, I pray for every listener that none of us would ever get the COVID-19 disease. I just pray that in Jesus' name, that we would be protected, overseen by you, and it just would not happen. And for those maybe who have already contracted it or who are feeling ill, Lord, you would heal them because you are a healer. And I pray, Father, that we would, as parents, give our children one of the greatest gifts possible, the gift of faith, that they would see faith in our hearts, how we are trusting you in everything, and they would have that own faith in their own hearts as well. And Lord, I just pray as we conclude this time together that you would use this show to honor women, to honor mothers, and to honor all people, especially those on the front lines of the COVID crisis, those who are fighting for other people to live. Medical care people, pharmacists, others like that. And again, I pray a protective prayer over them that they would be overseen by you, and no weapon formed against them will prosper. They will be more than conquerors. They will walk in the power of your spirit and will always have hope in your heart. Lord, as we conclude this program, thank you again for all mothers out there. Happy Mother's Day to everyone. And thank you for being the God of the universe who gives us mother-like qualities in your nurture and care for us. And I pray finally, Lord, that we would love you with all our heart, soul, mind, and might. That's the greatest gift we can give our children, our grandchildren. They see that kind of faith in us. And could we also love our neighbors as we continue to go through this time, and we would be faithful servants of you. Thank you for this time together today. I pray this all in the name of Jesus. Thank you all for listening, and I'll talk with you all next week.